Good evening.
Ready?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Ba 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 da da da. It's just Glee. I don't know.
Listen,
I don't know, man. It's late. I got shit to do.
I just want you to know that this whole episode is going to be you knowing a lot of things about Glee and me not really knowing that many things about Glee.
Yeah, it was our whatchamacallit? Like the Gilmore Girls episode, but reversed.
Yeah.
Like, you know everything about Gilmore Girls. I know a bit about Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I truly forgot. I cut this out of the last podcast, but I, like, forgot that Glee was so gay.
How fucking good is Glee, though?
It's good.
Seasons? Okay. Am I already laying down my Glee thesis?
Yeah.
Seasons 1 and 2 and most of 3. Genuinely good TV. Getting progressively not as good, but like season 1 and 2 are really, really strong.
Yeah.
Season 3, not so much. And then just 4 goes downhill so quickly. And this is why. Seasons 1 and 2 and most of 3 again, satire. Pure, like it's pure. They are satirizing a certain type of TV show. It's funny. It's like, especially for 2009, it's like sharp. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. It's exactly what you want it to be. And then towards the end of season 3 and all of season 4, 5, 6, it turns into the thing
that it was
originally satirizing, right? So it becomes too earnest. It doesn't work because, like, they're trying to stay funny, but, like, you can tell there's, like, an earnestness beneath it that just doesn't match up. Mm. The other thing that they do that sort of, like, the songs stop having purpose or reason or meaning, right? In the first 3 seasons, they do a really, really good job storytelling through song, like musicals are supposed to do, but they just do it with modern music, right? So, yeah. Like, musical moments aren't just, like, a number, but like you have relate.
I'm so sorry.
My god,
it was my mom. It's my mom.
Oh my god,
it was my mom.
Is she okay? Is everything fine?
Yeah, she just called to say hi.
Oh, okay. Let me put my thing on do not disturb before I yell at myself later. Anyway,
yeah, Shoshana.
so like. The musical numbers are like these moments of actual like relationship building. You've got lots of furtive glances. You've got lots of back and forth between characters. The songs themselves have like meaning that they like, like you can't tell the story without the songs essentially, right?
Right.
And then when you hit like mid-season 3, most all of seasons 4, 5, and 6, they just become like songs that sort of sound good and that they can get the licensing to and that don't really move the plot forward. Like they're singing songs because they're fun songs to sing.
Not because
they necessarily, like do anything for the plot or like progression of the show. Or it's just, it's a fun song to sing or...
Oh, wait, so then how are they doing that? They're just like performing those songs rather
it's more,
than...
It's more in a, I guess like a meta is not the word that I'm looking for kind of way. But like they're so methodical in how they choose the songs, especially in seasons 1 and 2. That by the time it gets to the later seasons, it just feels like they're throwing anything in there. Like, here's a good song for someone to sing just because, like, it suits their voice. Here's a good song to sing because we already have a bunch of this artist stuff licensed, so it'll be easier to get something else.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my, like, season. If you watch seasons 1, like, you'll like it. Like, it's
yeah.
ridiculous. It's absurd. It's crazy. But you'd really like the first 3 seasons.
Okay, I'll put it on my list. I have a lot of other things to watch. What else were you just... Is that going to be your pop
And that's
moment?
What you missed on Glee. No, did I talk about Lea Michele being illiterate last week?
Yeah, you did.
Damn. This week...
Okay, I'll do my pop culture moment.
Okay, you do
first.
Yours.
Wait, let's say the thing.
Welcome to Pop Culture Pie Shop.
Where we irreverently discuss reverent text.
Nice.
Okay, I'm Valerie, and this week I am the Miley Cyrus live cover
nice.
Of Like a Prayer.
Yeah.
I was so afraid all week that you were going to steal that out from under me.
I'm so
me.
Sorry. I would never.
What do you mean you would never? You would absolutely.
Nah, I wouldn't. That's just not who I am as a person.
Okay. I know you're lying. Our listeners know you're lying.
I've moved away from Diet Coke this week to a bright orange drink.
Yeah.
Just so you guys have the visual of. What's happening right now?
Yeah, there's
Wait,
no
so
Diet Coke on the table.
Your pop culture moment is Miley Cyrus singing Like a Prayer. Would you like to say more on that?
It's just really good. And
so
she's
good.
Just like such an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. And I wish, like, based on this live album, like watching the videos of that, it's like a huge arena. Like she's like definitely like still a star. And I feel like people are, what's the word? Like they're dismissive of her.
Oh, 100%.
But I think she's like a really incredible singer and artist and performer.
I also think that like she chooses such interesting things to cover. And like, yeah. She just makes all of the songs, like we were talking about earlier this week when we were discussing it, like just like slightly her own. So it feels like you're listening to a different song and
yeah,
not necessarily like just a generic cover.
But yeah, the way she hits things in this cover is just like insane.
So good.
Yeah.
Cool. Good pop culture moment.
Thank you.
Okay. I've decided.
Because I do need your approval on my pop culture moment.
So I'm not going to be a downer, but we were discussing this just before Night Seder. It's Glee related. Corey Monteith.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Corey Monteith, played Finn in Glee, mm-hmm. passed away young in 2013. The thing he did, though, before he died was gifted us with what is possibly a person's greatest last two tweets.
Oh my God.
The day before he died, he literally tweeted out two things, and they are the single funniest things. The first tweet is, "What the crap is Sharknado?"
Mm.
He tweeted that. And then his next tweet, last tweet this man ever twat.
Stop. What? Did you said that earlier and you were like, I'm gonna
say
that. I did say that.
The last thing this guy ever tweets, oh, it's a shark tornado. And I'm like, amazing. Just like, imagine those being like, obviously not his last words, because I'm assuming like in like the next 24 hours he said things to people in real life or texted people, mm-hmm. whatever. But for that to be the last words and like immortalized by social media before you died, because he was also like an early, like the cast of Glee were all like very early
Twitter adopters,
and Instagram adopters, and so they were like pumping out content for their fans the whole time. It was crazy.
Wow, what a moment. That I was too old for Glee, to be honest, the first time it came out.
It's just so funny.
I was too busy watching like Gossip Girl.
I loved Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you last week. It made me gay.
I can't remember if I cut that part out or not.
I haven't listened to last week's episode. I couldn't tell you. Okay. Anything else before we move on?
You did a pop culture moment. I did a pop culture moment. No, that's it.
Well, we're efficient this week.
We should have said this at the top. We're going by the Chutz La'aretz Parsha schedule.
They should have gotten that from last week's episode.
Theoretically, yeah, but theoretically. I'm just saying it here for all of you that we are not a week behind. We are just honoring diasporic Judaism.
It's true.
Yeah. Hopefully, if you're in Israel, you're not too disappointed.
I think it should match up again soon.
I have no idea. I will say that both, I think it's like interesting that we both doubted ourselves and that like we knew.
Because I knew that we were reading Kadosh Mincho last week, but then like no one on the internet was talking about Kadosh. And I'm like, I know when it's Parshat Kadosh because everyone consistently posts the worst takes in the world.
Interesting. Like what?
Like just like left and the right. Like anyone's take on like queerness and Torah. I'm like, I don't agree with you. Like it's so seldom that someone like actually strikes the right note of like what needs to be said. It just never happens. And so I didn't see any of that, so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. And then I looked it up, but on my app that I was looking at the Shabbos times, I looked at Sydney and not Jerusalem, and it said Achremot. And then I got to Shabbos lunch and they said, do you have a Devar Torah for Kedoshim? And I was like, oh yeah, that's what's happened.
Yeah, because we had this conversation last week where I was like, I think it's Kedoshim and you were like, I'm not sure. And
no, because I was like, cause I looked at it, I was like, I thought it was Kedoshim, but this says Achremot. So then we recorded Achremot.
Yeah,
and then after anyway, we were, but everyone's right.
We were right, but we were also wrong. But I just like it's we deep. Didn't trust that's ourselves, so which just I think is like a deep lesson for both of us as future Jewish also, educators and
I just
women.
Think it's so funny that I knew, I was like in my head, I was like, I've been keeping track of the parashiyot. I know it's Kedoshim. And the second the internet was like, no, it's Achrimot, I was like, okay. I was just like, oh, fine. Yeah.
No, I told you this before
so
we started recording.
Doubt myself. Jeez Louise.
Same. Before we started recording, I was telling Yarden, like, she was like, why are you doing, like, isn't it, isn't it Amor this week and not Kadoshim? And I was like, yeah, we're doing it by Code Solaris. And she was like, why? And I was like, well, it's kind of a long story. And then I like told her this. And as I'm like, we were talking about it and we were going back and forth. And she's like, why didn't you just look it up? And I was like, you're done. We did look it up. And we were led astray. Anyway, no one cares. Everyone's like, just get to it.
Yeah.
Okay, are you going to give us a...
summary? I'm not going to give like a full summary. It's a continuation of the... was it the Holiness Codes, whatever it is?
Chabad.org/nutshell.
I'm not even there. I read through the parsha and made a list of all of... because I knew it was like a mitzvah heavy parsha, right? Because it's like, bam, 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 bam. Mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah.
Oh, wait, there's something else we have to talk about.
Right now, mid-sentence?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
We're doing a big push to learn all the parshiot at Pardes at Night Seder before the end of the year. At Claire, your project that you love and came up with.
Our number one fan.
And that you love Night Seder and the Parsha and Shavuot so much. I'm laying this on thick because Claire was just like, I didn't come up with this.
Yeah. Thanks, Claire. Love you.
Anyway, tonight we just ate popsicles in celebration of Parsha study.
We read through the Parsha together for the first time since Bereshit, too.
Yeah.
Because usually we like to do it apart and then come together and discuss. Now we've just read it. We watched Glee separately.
Anyway. So I can't confirm what Shoshana is saying. It's just a bunch of list.
It's just a huge list of like different mitzvot, the Holiness Code. I made a list. Like, I'm not going to go through all of them because it's a really long list. But it's like things that are famous, right? Like they've got Honor Your Parents in there. They've got Keep Shabbat in there, which I was right about. And someone questioned me on Shabbos. I'm annoyed. Don't turn to idols. They've got like stuff about sacrifices. And then they've got like don't steal. Don't like swear falsely.
Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind.
Don't insult the deaf. Judge fairly. Don't take vengeance or bear a grudge. Love others like you love yourself. Like that big one that's in this week's parsha. Rules of shutness.
Things of your...
Like Leket and Peah, yeah. They've got whose parsha summary is this?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. You already summarized four seasons of Glee, six seasons of Glee for us. So like, you took my job.
And that's
too.
What you missed on Glee. I didn't talk about the episode we're doing. Shabbat Glee itself. Anyway, then you've got like the rules of shutness. So like, not making clothes that use cotton and linen. I always forget.
Oh, yeah.
Wool and linen.
Yeah, you can't mix wool and linen.
Yeah, and then you can't mix species of animals, like splice them together, and you can't do that for the field
as
well.
Yeah, no ligers up in
here. No ligers and no nectarines.
What?
I'm pretty sure a nectarine is like a peach and something else.
I literally ate a nectarine that I bought from
that's fine,
a kosher grocery store. Like, they are not.
No. It's, if someone else does it, I think it's like they exist now, not because of us. So we
nectarines
can eat them.
Nectarines are a crime. I'm looking that up.
Can you look it up? Fact check. And then they got a bunch of like,
Will I even look up nectarine origin?
Sure. Orange and
stop. No. Oh, they were developed from a peach by a natural mutation.
Oh, there you go. Cool. Anyway, then you've got like when you plant a tree, don't for 3 years. Then you've got a bunch of like different sex laws about who you can have sex with and like who you're more about like who you can't have sex with, right? So it's like your sister, your brother's wife, your father's wife, your uncle's wife, like all these people you can't sleep with. They've got the absolute classic, a man shall not lie with another male as he does with a woman because it is abhorrent to the Lord, according to the JPS translation. You've got things like rise before the aged and show deference to the old. Don't wrong the strangers who reside within you.
No cutting the corners of your hair.
Yeah, you have to leave your peyot. You can't talk to ghosts. You can't falsify your weights and measures. You get cut off from the Jewish people for a bunch of stuff they list, specifically about like a couple of the sexual things. And then Hashem says, like, make sure you observe all of this stuff. If you don't, the land, like Eretz HaKodesh, like the holy, like the promised land, whatever you want to call it, will spew you out. It'll spit you out.
The land where this week they're reading it more.
The land needs you to follow these things, otherwise it will like physically reject you, and I, the Lord your God, will spiritually reject you. And that's the parasha. Super low key, light stuff to deal with.
Yeah, easy peasy. Not much to say about all that. Okay.
Yeah.
So this week we watched Glee.
Hell yeah, we did.
We watched.
It was very exciting for me. I made Meryl watch with me. We watched it together. I have a Meryl quote under my notes. I don't know if you saw it.
I saw that. Yeah. Which is who has time for this?
About the people like singing like several different numbers and like practicing all day. And she's like, who has time for this? Oh, and I just so cracked funny. Up.
So we watched season 2, episode 18, directed by Alfonso Gomez Rejon. Is that how you say his last name?
I don't know.
What? Oh, are we not big on, like, this isn't like the Gilmore Girls fandom where you're big on, like, who wrote the episode? And
Who wrote it? It's season 2. Brad Falchuk. Yeah. Basically, all of season 2 are written by the same one of three people, or by all three at the same time or something. These people are Ryan Murphy, Brad Falchuk, and Ian Brennan. And they literally wrote, like, just those three, wrote the entire first, I'm going to say, 2.5 seasons, maybe.
Got it.
Which is insane for a TV show to do. Like, it's crazy.
For just
these are, like,
22 writers.
Episode seasons. Like, they don't have a writer's room. It's just the three of them.
Yeah.
Also, probably why it's, like, so unhinged, and also why it, like, totally changes when they introduce a writer's room.
There's absolutely, like, no editing process. Yeah. They're just,
they're just
like,
yeah, put that in. Put that in.
Everything makes it in. They're like, we got to fill 58 minutes, people. Okay, the featured songs are... Wait, should I give the overview of the episode? I don't even know how to do this.
So much happens in this episode.
Yeah.
You can say what happens in this episode, like, very briefly. Kurt comes back to McKinley after he's been gone for a while because of bullying.
You can say what happens briefly. You say it, Shoshana.
What happens in this episode? Basically, it's the Born This Way episode. So Rachel breaks her nose and then wants to get
Finn
a...
Finn breaks Rachel's nose.
Yeah, and then wants to get... And she wants to get a nose job, and then she wants to get Quinn... Like, she wants specifically Quinn's nose on her face.
Also, because her doctor recommends it.
Okay, but, like, you don't have to read the Wikipedia synopsis. I'm just... Doing
I
this
know,
off
but
memory.
I feel like that's like an important piece. Is
really.
She doesn't come up with the idea to get a nose job. He's like, it's a rite of passage for Jewish girls
to
get
a
nose
joke.
Job.
That's a good joke. I laughed at that. Anyway. And then, like, they try and talk her out of it because, like, no, you're beautiful as you are. And she's like, it might maybe sing better. And also, I'm like, I'm, you know, insecure about this. And they're like, no, you're beautiful. And then, okay, here's, and then, like, there's a bunch of, like, Santana stuff in this episode of, like, her being gay and closeted and, like, she's trying to win prom queen.
In love with Britney.
She's in love with Britney. Britney's dating Artie. She starts dating Dave Karofsky because this is the most unhinged recap. Because Dave...
is the reason that Kurt left McKinley.
Exactly. So she wants Kurt to come back because she knows that she'll get brownie points to become prom queen. So her and Dave become each other's beards. Again, if you have never seen Glee, this is going to be just absolute gibberish to you.
And then they make an anti-bullying club
called the Bully Whips, also for brownie points for prom queen. Quinn, the absolute my favorite character in Glee, Diana Agron, I love you. Quinn is also campaigning for prom queen, and we find out in this episode the most ridiculous backstory for a character ever, which is that she, in middle school, so in grade 8, lost a bunch of weight, got a nose job, dyed her hair, and changed her name, or like stopped going by her first name. And because started going by her middle name, which is Quinn, and then moved schools, and someone like digs up her whole past because like she's obviously insecure about who she was. It's all about insecurities this episode, obviously. And then
somebody tries to use that. Lauren tries to use that against her
in her run for prom queen, and she's scared that like everyone's gonna reject her because she used to be ugly and fat. But then it turns out that makes her relatable because she's the most beautiful human alive.
Yeah.
Lots of good quips in this episode. It's like some absolute classic Glee like lines. Like Santana's just like, the only straight I am is a straight up bitch is in this episode.
Yeah.
Santana's I've got a gay go. Yeah. I've got a go. when he's like, I'm not gay. I wasn't looking at his butt. I was just seeing what kind of jeans he was wearing. And she goes, as if that's any less gay. you've got the only Rachel Quinn duet in this episode. I Feel Pretty, I'm Pretty. The only time they ever sing just the two of them. Very big moment for us, the gays.
Also, Emma, the guidance counselor.
Oh my God.
Like, there's a whole plot line about like, what's it? What's the other teacher's name?
Will.
Mr. Will. Schuster. Mr. Schuster trying to get her to admit that she has OCD. She's like, no, I'm just a, wait, what does she say? She's like, he's like, you're a clean freak. And she's like, I prefer the term like, Neat Nelly or something. There's like something silly that she says.
The most unprofessional shit too. Like she's in her lunch break of her underpaying job at a public school, and he's just like harassing her to admit that she has mental illness.
Yeah,
I know they're dating, but it's fucked up.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like the whole he's such a bad teacher. And watching this now as someone who is about to become a teacher, I'm like, pedagogically, this man sucks. Santana spends like the first like umpteen minutes of Glee Club like ranting and bullying people, and he only tells her to stop when she stops talking. Like, she never tries to cut her off in her like mean tirade of bitchiness. And it just, and then she literally stops speaking, and then he's like, Santana, that's enough. And she's like, I'm like, bro, I'm classroom done. Management. Like,
yeah, not so good.
Anyway.
There was also a flash mob scene.
Mm. It's the dumbest scene in the entire series.
It is really dumb.
It's so stupid.
They go to the mall to try to convince Rachel to keep her nose because it makes her like Barbara Streisand, who's her idol.
So they dance to that song, like, ooh, like that song.
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the songs they sing are I Feel Pretty / Unpretty, I've Gotta Be Me, Somewhere Only We Know, As If We Never Said Goodbye, Barbara Streisand, and then finally Born This Way, which is what the episode is named for.
Yeah. The most glee of like having the most unnecessary Kurt solo that just ruins the episode as well. I'm like, why the fuck do we do this? Anyway, but that's besides the point.
Wait, what Kurt solo?
When he has a solo song.
What was his solo song?
As If We Never Said Goodbye.
Oh. I completely missed it.
Good. It's not worth it.
It also has... Oh, the Somewhere Only We Know is what the other choir like sings, yeah, to him.
They've also got the other choir. The name... The Warblers? Okay.
Also, what? Like, that guy's his boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He sings that song and then everybody like... It's like when he comes back to Glee Club, he like gets his little solo.
Yeah. And then also they have like the greatest TV parent ever, who is Bert Hummel.
Yeah.
Bert, the father of Kurt.
All right.
Well, no, like it's purposefully dumb. And then, yeah, anyway. And then they end up singing Born This Way.
Oh, this is what I was going to say, is I like had a panic moment right before I came here where I was like, oh, I didn't finish the episode. And then I was like, and then I went and I had 6 minutes left. So I'd watched 52 minutes out of 58. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what can even possibly happen? Except the song that the episode is named for. I was like, wow, that would have been really embarrassing.
It is so funny. What I was going to say about the flash mob before is that it just so heavily dates the show. Because it's at a time when that song, Barbra Streisand, was huge, and when flash mobs were huge.
Yeah.
In a mall. And so when malls were huge before the decline and death of the mall.
Yeah, honestly, it really took me back to a time when flash mobs. Right. And I had this.
Like 2010.
Yeah. Like, I wish that I had a reason to create a flash mob.
So funny.
Yeah.
We should do a flash mob in Night Seder.
For Rachel.
To Barbra Streisand. It's close enough. It's a Jewish lady. Anyway, okay. So this episode of Glee.
It should be like a Lizzo song that Rachel will be like, just like horrified by.
What if we did WAP? Flash mob to Wet Ass Pussy for the
party. In the baby's dress.
Yeah. For Rachel, yeah. My best friend.
Yardan, I might have to cut this out, but Yardan said, oh no, you told me for my like goodbye speech at Pardes that I should tell the story about... when like one of the teachers walked by and I was talking about whether or not my butthole was touching the chair or not.
I did say that.
And I've been thinking about it a lot because I haven't come up with a better story
That's
to tell.
So funny. I don't even know what I'm going to say the goodbye thing. Okay.
Anyway.
Should we do comparisons or should I just talk about how much I love this episode more? You can choose. I'll give you the choice.
No, I feel like we should do the comparisons because we literally just got a message where someone was like, when you finally started talking about the Parsha last week, the comparison was really good.
Okay, so there's like a handful of comparisons I'll say this week. Again, like because it's a parsha where nothing actually happens and it's just a bunch of laws, like you have to sort of like conceptually match the laws to things that are happening either in the show or the episode.
I feel like there's kind of a parallel. I mean, Kurt comes back, but like other than that, like what really happens in this episode? Like Rachel considers getting a nose job and doesn't.
Yeah.
Someone tries to like multiple people try to run for prom queen and be like sneaky about it, but
yeah,
in the end it just ends up being the same people who are running for prom queen.
Yeah, but that's like a series long arc of the prom queen stuff. And about how it plays into like the couple dynamics and like who's friends with who and who wins.
Was it a big deal who won prom queen at your school? Did you do that?
I went Valerie. What kind of school did I go to?
School.
Okay, Valerie, what kind of gender went to my school?
All women. That's why I asked the question. Then I was like, wait.
They whispered it. All women? Yeah. I went to an all girls Chabad school.
But so like you don't do any of that stuff?
Like I went to my friend's formal. They like he went to another school.
Wait, but they don't host any dances.
No, it's not from.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It's not like when you see like
private. Good. I think down with school dances. Honestly.
As in, like, because when you see like British, have you seen Heartstopper?
You keep asking me this.
You have to watch it. Anyway, at British, whenever they talk about like British private, like all girls or all boys schools, there's usually like an accompanied, like partnered school of the other gender that they do things like formals and like sportsmen's with. Not for Chabad school. We had a boys' high school, but we did not talk to them. We weren't allowed to.
You weren't allowed to talk to them?
No, we weren't. Girls in my class got in trouble for meeting boys in the car park downstairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just...
Yes?
It just, like, really stunts your, like, ability to...
Talk to the other gender?
Yeah.
Well, I went to...
Okay, talk to another gender. It's not a binary, Shoshana.
Okay. like, you win. whatchamacallit? Have you seen that TikTok? Sounds like, okay, you win. You win with your gay stuff. Are you happy now?
No, I haven't, but I like it. All my TikTok has become all like crafting things, which I love. Yeah. I'm like obsessed. And people recommending books, which I'm like thrilled by also. Book talk. And I actually did a Weird Weekends episode where I rapped once. My money don't jiggle. Yeah, it falls.
I don't know what I was saying. Anyway, I love this show. It's great. My school didn't have formals or dances or anything. I don't think prom queen exists in Australia. I don't think homecoming exists in Australia. Very American. We
definitely had those things. But now I like have no memory of who won.
Right. So like prom queen in seasons 2 and 3 have really become like this one of the central plots. Can I give you spoilers for the show that's been out and over for like...
I mean, I guess. Oh.
I've never even heard your voice make such a sarcastic sound. You've like unlocked a new tone of sarcasm.
My host family, I did that's something so and the dad funny. Was like, I can never tell if you're joking because your tone and your like face does not change. Like,
oh my God, that was so funny. I guess. So in the end of season 2 at prom, Kurt, who just came back to the school because of bullying issues, is once again bullied on a public scale when they vote him. Someone like stuffs the ballots and they vote him in as prom queen.
Cute.
Because he's, no, it's not cute, it's bullying. And so it's him and Dave, his bully. He's aww. Dave is prom king and he's prom queen.
That's horrible.
It's really bad. And then season 3, it gets gayer, but only on a subtextual level, because Quinn is about to win prom queen and she's counting the ballots with Santana, and it's like them two have been in the lead again like this whole time. And then they both decide, but it's Quinn's idea, to give prom queen to Rachel. And then Rachel gets prom queen her senior year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really altruistic of them.
I know. It's because Quinn was subtextually in love with Rachel. And again, we can discuss this. I'm happy to discuss this, but I think we should do the parallels first.
Actually, my school voted a gay couple to be, I think they were homecoming court.
Homecoming princess. So when Kurt was, it was bullying, like straight up bullying. Like, yeah. He ran out crying, like, aww. And then came back in. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Anyway, okay. First things first. I'm the realist.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready.
So the first thing that we hear in this week's parasha and the first parallel is honoring thy parents. And this week's episode of Glee has a great scene with one of the greatest television parents of all time.
Are you okay over there? Little burps.
So many tiny burps stuck inside me. Bert Hummel, Kurt's dad.
Let them free. Free the burps.
Free the burps. Bert Hummel, Kurt Hummel's dad, is one of the greatest TV parents of all time. Great character arc of like starts off like obviously knowing his very effeminate son is gay, but like sort of like, you know, struggling with it. There's great scenes in season 1 of Kurt, you know, purposely throwing an audition for Defying Gravity solo. Because he knows that, like, Bert doesn't want him to get it and will continue to get harassed for having a gay son if he, like, is effeminate in the public realm. Mm-hmm. And then goes through this thing of, like, he, like just fully defends his son when he's getting bullied. He, like, pulls him out of the school. He, like, is yelling at the administration to do something. I mean, he becomes, like, one of these great, like, ally parents who just, like, seemingly only exist in TV at that extent. He runs for Congress, becomes a congressman.
Wow.
All on like LGBT rights and like kids' rights and stuff.
Cool.
He's just a fantastic TV parent. If there's one person to watch, like arguably the best character in the show, and he's a guest star every so often.
Yeah.
And he marries Finn's mum, so him and Kurt are stepbrothers, which is why at that point he goes to Finn, look after your brother, if that made no sense to you.
It didn't make sense to me, but now it does.
They're stepbrothers.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's Honor Thy Parents. This week we get to honor the great, all of our parent.
Bert Hamill.
Yeah.
Okay, the next comparison is don't steal or deceive or swear falsely or defraud. So obviously the big thing is Santana and Dave like luring Kurt back to school so that Santana can win prom queen / get Brittany to fall in love with her. It's like that is what is a little unclear. This like seems very convoluted. This
I think
plot.
It's two things. I think it's like she doesn't want to get prom queen because Brittany will be fully in love with her. I think like she's conflating winning prom queen with winning Brittany back.
Yeah.
But also needs Dave to be her beard.
Yeah.
And so it's mostly just like the false pretenses of luring Kurt back into the school. Like Kurt can see straight through Dave's bullshit of apology and is like, right. Why are you doing this? And he tells him.
Right. I liked that moment where he was like, adults leave the room. He's like, what's really going on here?
And then you've also got like Quinn.
And then also Dave being like, I don't know if I'm gay or not.
And then you've got like Quinn and her deepest, darkest secret of being like, you know, someone named Lucy and overweight with braces and
Lucy
ugly.
Lucy Caboosey.
Exactly.
That was the funniest part where they were, she was like, worse. Lucy Caboosey.
So you've got like these people all through this episode, like denying shit, lying about shit, falsely deceiving.
Okay. Here's what I will say is not deceiving is that fur hat and fur vest.
The strimal
is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, is like Santana, like the Lebanese shirt is also really funny.
Okay. Context. They all have to make shirts for the Born This Way number that have something that they are like insecure about printed on them.
Butt chin. What would your shirt have on it?
Meryl and I discussed this. I don't know. But I will say, so Brittany, who is like the dumb character, gives Santana a shirt that she thinks says lesbian because she knows that Santana is insecure about her identity. But she misspells it and it says Lebanese.
Meryl's at the door. Hey, Meryl.
Meryl. Meryl, come in.
What would your Born This Way t-shirt say?
Come speak into the mic. Guys, Meryl's first... You have to shut the door, although it's too loud. Meryl's first appearance on mic, you guys. We're going to cut this out probably, though.
It's really mean.
Wait, no. Actually, it technically was two episodes ago.
Speak into the mic.
I didn't cut out. Yeah.
Speak into the mic.
Okay, what's up?
What would your Born This Way shirt say? Oh, also, what were your thoughts about Glee?
I can't stand Glee.
You had a good time.
Like, the songs are fun.
You laughed so hard the whole time.
I didn't laugh so hard. There was one part... It was either when Santana was speaking or what else was happening.
I don't know.
Someone was talking and I was cracking up.
Oh no. Just cracking up the whole time. At one point during, we watched it together. During like one of the numbers, she just goes, who has time for this? she's like, who's got time to do this?
It's after Mr. Shu was like, okay, I want everyone to prepare their own musical number.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we're going to prepare a big group one and it's all due this week. And I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Like, did none of you people have homework?
Yeah,
like,
I don't understand it. The songs were fun. I was singing along.
It's all fun.
That.
Yeah, we sang together.
But I just forgot like how batshit that show is.
I know.
It is really
it's
ridiculous.
So good. That's why it's good.
Yeah.
It's a little outdated. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course it is. So is Gilmore Girls. Like,
and I also
so is Gossip Girl. So is everything that was released pre 2019. I will not. What will your Born This Way t-shirt be? Wrist. Meryl has a broken wrist right now, you guys. That's why that's funny.
But she broke on a Pardes too.
Yes. I had too many things that I would put on a shirt.
So aww.
You know what? I'm human, okay?
Yeah. It is hard. It's like in the show, people have something that's very clear that they're like self-conscious about.
Because they're all like written characters and they're not particularly dimensional.
Here's my thing. The thing about the shirts is it like conflates people's insecurities to make them feel like it's on the same level. Like Will Schuster having a butt chin is not the same as Kurt Hummel like struggling with his sexuality. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, literally, like, having likes boys and then someone else has can't dance. Like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, not all insecurities were created the same. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. You cannot conflate the two of those things as being equally as difficult. And, like, that's what really annoys me about that episode. Specifically Will Schuster.
Also, it felt sad that Britney says, "I'm with Stupid."
She made it herself. She owns it. So did Pucks. But he said, "I'm with Stupid," and pointed to his dick.
Yeah.
And her said, "I'm with Stupid," and pointed up to her head. Mm. That's why it was funny.
Mm.
But the Lebanese one is the best one.
The Lebanese is the best. Yeah.
She goes, "I'm Hispanic."
I feel like mine would be like my lack of direction in life. Mm. Is that too serious?
That's too wordy for a shirt, bro. Okay,
lack of direction in life. You know, yeah, that's a big gotta, font. You got to narrow it down.
Two shirts?
I mean, if you could put "I'm with Stupid" on a shirt. Also, my poor memory skills. Ooh. I have a terrible memory.
Mm-hmm.
What would yours be, Shoshana?
I don't know. I was thinking.
Shoshana's perfect.
I am. That's what it says. It says perfect.
I'm with perfect.
It's so hard. It's perfect. So hard to be so perfect.
What would yours say?
I'm having trouble thinking about something. Oh, it would say rashy arms because I have these weird bumps on my arms.
Rashy arms?
One of my friends used to always make fun of me for it. And actually, one time, a boy in my, I think seventh grade, a boy that I liked, said, "How come you don't have acne on your face, but you have acne on your arms?"
That's so rashy arms. That's so
funny.
You do have liney hands. You also have tiny hands. Liney tiny hands. Liney tiny hands on Meryl Streep.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks for stopping by. I love having
brief guest stars.
Yeah.
Okay,
back to our comparisons.
Okay. Next, you've got "Don't insult the deaf or impede the blind in any way." And you've got Santana's just whole rant against gay kids and kids who are clearly struggling with their insecurities, and she does it in the name of being a bitch, but it's really because she herself is insecure.
Yeah. Well, and then she has the gall to try to put that on a shirt, that she's a bitch. And it's like, you're not self-conscious about that. Okay, then we have "Judge fairly and love others as oneself." Well, the whole episode is kind of about like judging yourself fairly, loving yourself, loving others.
Then you've got "Don't take vengeance or bear a grudge." And you've sort of got that with the Kurt and Dave dynamic of like Kurt sort of letting go of this fear he has of being killed by a school bully. And Santana and Brittany, like, as in like everyone's got the grudges that are at play.
Yeah.
Like Santana stops talking to Brittany. Brittany's mad at Santana. Dave, Kurovsky and Kurt. And then you've got like people's internal, I'd say, you know, like bearing like, Quinn Fabre bears a grudge against herself.
Right. And what about Emma and Will? There's definitely some tension between them. Yeah. Okay. "Not mixing species or fields and Chardonnay." You wrote "Glee Club," LOL. Yeah.
It's my theory.
Hey, lay it on us.
The Glee Club
is Chardonnay.
Is maybe Glee is so cursed because its premise, people who shouldn't be friends and hanging out together, coming together to hang out and form one cohesive group. And so that's why it's always so incohesive. And that's why it just doesn't work out. Like, I know it's the opposite of like diverse friends and make friends across groups, but it's like, nah, that's shutness. That's like friendship shutness, bro.
That's so funny. Shoshana, what?
I like, was just trying to find comparisons.
The like beautiful meta message of the show. You're like, no
this is why nothing works out for you people. This is why it's cursed.
If we saw Glee Club in the marketplace, we would carate them right
so up. Then you've got speaking of current, you've got all of like the stuff in this week's Parsha about like the bad sexual shit and like, you know, who you can and can't sleep with. A lot of it's about incest and like within the family, who within your family you can't sleep with. The Glee Club is so incestuous. Everyone is always sleeping with each other and breaking up and getting back together. So you've got like the weird dynamic this episode of Finn, who is currently dating Quinn again. They dated in the first season for a bit. Or they had been dating for a long time and they break up because she gets pregnant by someone else.
And what happened to that baby?
They give it to Rachel's birth mother.
Whoa.
Who is played by Idina Menzel. Bro, you really have to watch Glee. It's fucking wild. And so you've got like, And like the person who got Quinn pregnant also dated Rachel at some point because they were both right. Jewish, and then they broke up. And I then Finn and that. Rachel dated, and then they break up, and then Finn and Quinn get back together.
But then there's a lot of tension between Finn and Rachel in this episode.
Exactly. Like, you're right. Beautiful. But he's dating Quinn at the same time. Plus, on top of that, you've got like Santana takes Finn's virginity. You've got Santana and Brittany used to like sleep together all the time, and then they stopped because Brittany's dating Artie. Artie dated Tina at some point. Tina dates Mike Chang. You've got Karofsky kisses Kurt, and that's how he finds out he's gay, and then threatens to kill him. But then like in later episodes, or in this episode, Dave and Santana are beards. But Dave also dates Blaine, Kurt's boyfriend, in like season 6. So you've just like, literally it's like everyone is dating everyone. No one is off limits for some reason. Like Lauren Zices is dating Puck. Sorry, Bebs came back. Santana and Quinn sleep Bebs together. Santana and Quinn sleep together in one episode. Like, it's just freaking crazy.
They do. That's
they
hot.
Do. And then also you've got the cast, right? Okay, a meta level. So obviously Lea Michele and Corey Monteith dated. Everyone knew that. Like, they were dating for a while, like pretty much the whole show. Before the show started, Lea Michele was dating Matthew Morrison, who plays Mr. Schuster.
The fuck?
Not only that, she told him he got the role in the show because she was cast first and they let her call him. This is all from like podcasts and stuff that you find out later on. In Naya Rivera's memoir, she talks about how basically just the entire set was an orgy and like all of the cast members were just like always sleeping together in different formations.
Wow.
So literally just this whole show and everything about it. Gwyneth Paltrow guest starred on the show and now she's married to one of the original creators, I think Brad Falchuk. Like, it's literally just like one big ball of sex.
Wow. Crazy.
It's wild. And that's like this week's Parsha.
A show about horny teenagers.
And it's just all of things
became
yeah.
just horny people.
Yeah, literally.
Okay. Your next point, I think you've miswritten this because I think it should say no homo and then glee homo.
I wrote glee is homo, but yeah, you can take out the is. I'll take it out 1 second.
Well, it doesn't matter now.
Too late. Yeah, so this week's Parsha has a very famous line that everyone sort of battles with, especially people in our friend group. Sorry, I had to burp again at a very serious point. Like, we know lots of gay people.
Speak for yourself.
I know lots of gay people.
Okay, I know lots of gay people.
I know at least one person in this room is gay. And it's you.
Prove it.
You have a long-term girlfriend. She's a roommate. So yeah, glee homo.
Yeah.
Glee's very homo. Anyway, what I was saying is like, before you derailed me because I accused you of being gay and you denied it.
How dare you?
So this week's Parsha has that line of like, a man cannot lie with another mm-hmm. man, has led to lots of like people being upset, obviously, understandably. And glee is very homo.
Yeah.
Glee is like the first thing that I think a lot of people in our generation like watched that was had like openly gay people like in a large quantity on TV.
Yeah,
it's definitely the first lesbians I saw on TV that weren't like laughed or derided, right? Like, I remember seeing Carol on Friends, but like she was always the sort of,
yeah, she was like the butt of a joke,
or like she was the butt of Ross's pain, yeah, type thing. This was just like characters being characters who were, happened to be gay. It was all about right. their coming out stories. Like, they were all accepted by their friend groups. And also just to see how far we've come in terms of representation on TV, right? Like, I remember being in high school and like you'd beg to see like more than a 0.5 second kiss between Brittany and Santana. And now you've got like full on like makeout scenes in TV shows that are like,
well, and also just like different types of gay characters. Like, definitely like Santana and Brittany, I think like kind of fall into like one category of like beautiful lesbians. Yes. And then also like you have Kurt, like very clearly effeminate, but like now you have people on TV who are a variety of like types of gay that right. don't fall into
and
the
I think,
category.
Like Meryl was saying before, like obviously it's very outdated. They do have inappropriate jokes. They do have jokes that like are very problematic. But they also did so much for like representation on TV, and like I genuinely think that they were like part of that turn toward more representation on TV. And you've got like in later seasons they have trans characters, they have more queer characters, like they did great shit. Those homos did great. You can quote me on that. Those homos did great shit.
Great.
I
will.
Okay, next point. Yes.
Make sure you observe all these meets, vote lest the promised land spew you out. If they don't win their competitions, they're always in danger of being shut down.
Right. Mm. Literally, like, every time they don't win a competition, they're like, oh no, we're going to get shut down. We don't have the funding anymore. Like, there's always something with, like, Sue Sylvester, like Jane Lynch's character.
Right. who wasn't in this episode at all.
She was in the office. She was the principal at the time. She facilitated the meeting between Dave and Kurt and their parents.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, totally did not register.
I think she did. It could have been Iqbal Thiba.
I think it was him, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh no, because she's in the early episodes when he like first threatens him.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, they're always just like trying to stay afloat. If they don't do well, if they don't win and succeed, then literally like they don't have their program anymore. They don't have a show.
Yeah.
The next
good comparison.
Yeah. The next one is a bit lax of a comparison, which is that we have I am the Lord your God, and it's all about like the Jewish God. And you have like lots of lines about Rachel holding onto her Hebraic roots through her nose.
That was a very silly one.
Yeah. Look, Glee doesn't handle the Jewish shit very well.
Progressive in a lot of ways.
I don't expect them to handle the Jewish shit very well. They have like Hanukkah one time. Puck dates Rachel because she's Jewish. Rachel's dad is Jeff Goldblum, who's very Jewish.
Also,
you know Jeff Goldblum is in this show at one point?
Yeah.
Season 3?
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is also crazy the conversation that what's his name, the kid with the mohawk, has
Puck.
About making out with girls at synagogue and how then they go and get nose jobs and he doesn't like to make out with them as much because their noses aren't poking him in the eye.
Yeah,
I was
really
like,
funny.
What?
It's so funny. Yeah, he's dead now.
Oh.
No. He got pulled up on child porn charges and then killed himself instead of going to prison.
Wow.
Yeah. Why? I told you the show is cursed.
Yeah, it really is.
It's absolutely wild.
Because they're of the Chardonnays.
Because of the Chardonnays. Because they encourage Chardonnays.
They are definitely wearing mixed fabrics on this show.
Hearing it back now, I see how ridiculous that was. Also, just like, how does Kurt wear half of the outfits this kid wears? He is like living in Ohio and his family is not wealthy and he's always wearing like the nice shit. Anyway, the last point I've got that's actual comparison, and then I have a question that we can ask afterwards. This is it feels like a very quintessential parsha. Like, you know, like I said before, there's lots of like cornerstones of Jewish culture and religion that appear in this parsha. You've got like don't get tattoos, you've got about like different things with ghosts, you've got like the gay shit, you've got keeping Shabbat. Like, literally, like, go through, you'll read a bunch of stuff, even if you've like never learned Torah before, like I guarantee you'll like find stuff that like, oh, I've heard about this in Jewish law, religion, culture before. This feels like a very quintessential episode of Glee, which just has like a lot of the most Glee elements you could possibly imagine in one episode, right? You've got Rachel being like the token Jew obsessed with singing and performing. You've got like the relationship triangles of like Brittany, Quinn, Santana, Finn, Rachel, Dave, like Kurt, and like everyone's just all mixed
Santana,
in there. So you've got
you've
got like all of these big characters and all of their different stories going on at the exact same time. You've got the classic like Emma's OCD, Will Schuster being the worst. You've got
right them coming up with this lesson that's supposed to be meaningful for the kids, but then it's really about them, but then like they're not really like implementing it in a serious. So that was the other thing from like a teacher perspective of like you're asking the kids like come up with like the thing that they're self-conscious about, but like you just heard us try to come up with the thing we're self-conscious about. Like, that's not an easy exercise to have high schoolers do.
And then you've got like Santana going on like one of her classic rants, just like tearing people to shreds. You've got Quinn being absolutely like fucking useless and just like completely tossed aside after she has the most ridiculous storyline, which just consistently happened all throughout this show. You've got Tina and Mercedes just going like without being used because there's just no space for them in this show, even though that like Mercedes is one of the best singers in the show. But instead we get Finn not dancing, we get Kurt singing another song for no reason, you've got Blaine singing because he takes over the show. It's very Glee. If you had to tell me, like, if you asked me, like, what's the one episode that would best define Glee, it'd probably be this one.
Mm.
It's just got everything going on except Sue Sylvester, and that's fine. But yeah.
Okay.
Well.
All right. I think we did
it. Oh, okay. One point. How much would you hate the Glee Club if you were just another student at that school? There's just always people singing in your hallways. Like, you're eating lunch and then, like, some guys in blazers show up and start singing to someone else. Like, they just suck.
I'd actually probably love it, to be honest.
I would not.
One of your notes just says Kurt sucks.
Kurt does suck. Ugh, I hate him.
Really?
He's so annoying.
Wow.
Yeah, I really didn't like him. Like, I really didn't like him. He's just annoying the whole time. First season, he's fine. Then he gets just Ned Flanderized of just, like, turning into a character of himself. I think it's really funny when Emma's like, being ginger has plagued me my entire life.
That's so funny.
What's even funnier is that you find out, I don't know if it's before this or after this, that her parents are ginger supremacists. And they believe that gingers are the superior white race.
That's funny.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I didn't even get to talk about how, like, gay Quinn and, like, that whole stuff. That's fine. That can be a bonus episode at one point.
Like you the did subtext, mention the that subtext she of gives like up prom queen for Rachel.
Well, like the subtext between Rachel and Quinn is like literally could be a podcast of its own, and I don't think we have the time for it right now. But maybe another time.
Let me just see if there's anything.
Oh my god, that one line!
Literally, the two things I wrote under my Glee note. It says, "Nose jobs are a rite of passage for Jewish girls, and the fur vest and hat combo is everything." Nice. I've mentioned both of those already, Ben. I just needed you to know those are the only things I wrote down in the episode.
At one point, they tell where Rachel says how she wants her new nose to be. She says less Hebraic and more Fabraic, and I was like, "That's nice. That's a good line." Also, because Diana Agron is Jewish.
Yeah.
Oh,
you also wrote, "Can confirm Diana Agron is prettier in person."
Oh my god, she's so hot.
Wait, so did she sing at this thing you went to?
Yeah, it was a jazz show.
It was a jazz show.
Is that the Carlisle? I read about it for Alma, so you should be reading about that soon.
Cool.
Okay. Okay, here's my question. It's a bit heavy-handed at the end of a very light episode.
We already talked about my rashy arms, it's so true. Bring it.
Okay, rashy arms, let's go. I think like one of the things that first made me think about this episode to do is... a lot of this parasha is about, like, interpersonal relationships and, like, how we treat other people and, like, you know, person to person. Mano el mano. Sorry, I made myself laugh. And so, like, doing good for good's sake, right? Like, being kind to a person because either, like, it's part of your moral code, whether that moral code is Torah-given or just innate, however you want to describe it, versus doing good because it benefits you in some way, right? You got in this episode, like, Santana brings Kurt back to school. She effectively stops bullying in the entire high school.
Right, she like
creates... But she's doing it for her own evil benefit. Because like...
How evil is it for her to want...
It's not evil. Yeah. But it's more that like she could have done this. Like you realize like, she could have done this at any point in time. Right. She could have like...
She should be using her powers for good.
She should be using her powers like way more for good. But she's not.
Yeah.
She does it... She does a good thing. She does it for her own benefit. So like what's... Does it still count as a good deed?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think... Okay. I used to have this book of Jewish bedtime stories. This isn't an exact parallel, but this is what I'm thinking about when you asked that question.
Okay.
Of, it's like this guy is hosting a Rebbe in his home, and he's getting upset because the Rebbe has all these visitors and they're tracking mud into his house. Okay. You know what this story.
Yeah, keep going though.
And then he like goes to sleep and he has a dream where he goes up to heaven and they're like weighing the scales of his good deeds and his bad deeds. And it's like, you know, each of the angels are like putting his good deeds, like all the time he like went to shul and gave tzedakah, and then it's like the times that he like didn't honor his parents and whatever, and the bad deeds are starting to outweigh the good deeds, and then the angel is like, oh, I have the mud for when he hosted this important Rebbe that like got tracked into his house, and the mud ends up tipping the scale back in his favor.
Okay.
So I feel like again, like I said, not an exact parallel, but I feel like there's a piece of that of like, if you do something, like if you're doing something good, that still outweighs like the way that you might feel about it, or the way like you're still putting that positive energy out into the world, you know.
Fair. Cool.
What do you think?
I think I'm just making sure I'm not going to get billed for this thing because I put my credit card in for some reason, but I don't think I did. I think that there's like this a different type of argument, right? Which is like doing like a lot of mitzvot that we get, we don't have what the actual reward is. We just know that there is reward in some way. I think the only two mitzvot we know what the reward are honoring your parents and chasing away the mother bird, and you get long life for both things. Mm-hmm. And so, but we have this idea of like, you know, you do mitzvot and you get rewarded in the world to come. And so people talk about like, what does it count as doing like the commandment of God, right? For the sake of the commandment, for the sake of God, if you're doing it with this goal, like with this reward in mind for the future, does it count because you're incentivized to do it? And the idea is that like, that's fine. Like, right. Like you can practice doing mitzvot essentially. Like you, using incentives to get you to do mitzvot doesn't make those mitzvot bad, but it's like a way to train you out of those incentives. At a certain point, you stop doing it because there are incentives and you start doing it because this is your routine and this is like how you've chosen to live your life essentially. So I think it's the same. I think it's like the good goes out into the world, but it can't always be like, so like in this case, for example, like it's fine that she does a good thing now, but all of her good deeds can't come from selfish actions. Because at a certain point you stop learning, like, right, there's no growth in the kindness. You don't learn from the kindness, and that doesn't better you. You're just doing kindness for yourself over and over again.
I don't know, because I don't think that, like, I don't think that mitzvot are meant to be, like, at the expense of yourself for other people, right? Like doing something that's like looking out for yourself, that's also a good deed. It's not like there's a problem with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I was thinking about Michael Hatton likes to say that like, if you just sit still and don't do anything, you're like fulfilling 90% of the commandments. Like, and I think that's really interesting because like part of mitzvot is like about interacting with the world, right? And I think that involves both like me doing things that serve myself and like hopefully those things also serve other people, right? Like that there's a balance of like how much I'm doing things that serve other people, which then ultimately makes me feel good because like, again, you're putting that like good energy out into the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was more analogous, I guess, of like mitzvot. I guess you have to conflate mitzvot with all goodness in the scenario, but who knows?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, I think, like, I'm not looking at Santana doing mitzvot. She's doing good deeds. And I think in my scenario, like, I conflate doing mitzvot as doing good deeds because I'm assigning morality to the mitzvot. Right.
Yordan hates that. We talk about it all the time of like the mitzvah, like when you translate that as like a good deed, it's like, but that's not true. It's a commandment. Yeah. Like,
I agree. I also think like, if we don't have to get into this, but like when Rachel gave her speech about her grandfather, we learned a bit of her grandfather stuff. Like he has really interesting stuff about like, God isn't good. God is goodness, right? Like we get our morality, like we get our idea of morality and like subscribing value to things based on what God says. God self doesn't have a morality in any like God's actions can't be good or bad because God doesn't choose either way. God is the thing itself.
That's interesting.
If I was understanding it right, it's very esoteric, above my pay grade, but it's a very interesting guy. I read a couple of his books, would recommend them.
I think you also have to like understand of like, obviously this like doesn't carry over to everything and is like, obviously it's on my mind that like when we're talking about the Shoah, it's really hard to like find like God's presence in that, but that like,
and I also think it's like specifically in this week's parasha, it's real, like it's hard to look at the Torah and say if it's good one way or the other when there's something literally telling gay men that they cannot have sex with each other.
Right.
You guys should read Faith After the Holocaust, Eliezer Berkowitz. It's very good. We learn from his granddaughter every day. She is wonderful.
Yeah, we like her.
On top of that, his book, like one of his books, like literally made me love Jewish learning in life. God, Man in History.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend. Anyway, that's about it. I don't think I have anything else. I love Glee. If I haven't made that completely clear.
But only seasons one through three. And some
songs
three.
And some all of season three I like, and then some songs from season four. But
you
season
can
four
also
itself
find
is bad.
Shoshana's playlist on Spotify of We Did It Better.
I'll post some of my playlists from Glee.
Yeah.
on our story with the links. Don't worry, you guys.
If you have extra time this week, you could DM Shoshana to ask her to send you her Tumblr from Twilight.
I'm not doing that.
Come on, but just to me. What if you sent it just
even,
to me?
I'm not even doing that. Valerie, we are colleagues. I genuinely would. I wouldn't send it to anyone at Pardes. I wouldn't send it to Meryl.
Wow.
I'd send you memes at mid. Take out the URL.
Wow. Okay, well, on that note...
Okay, so, guys.
Wait, no, that's what your shirt should say. Twilight Tumblr. Twilight Tumblr.
My shirt should say Glee fan.
Like, wow.
Or questionable taste in media. Again, too wordy for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Okay, love you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.